Our sermon text, Matthew, the 10th chapter, our gospel reading. Brothers and sisters in Christ, when I prepare a sermon every week, there's a bunch of haphazard stuff that goes on. I don't recommend that. And I've tried to kind of get out of that habit. Just, it hasn't worked. But there does come a point when I actually do have to write it. So the first step of my writing process is to begin to type something. Since I never know really how to properly begin, I start with the easy stuff. So the first thing I do is type out the text. Matthew chapter 10, colon 34 through 42. The next thing I do is then enable my Roman numeral numbering. All right, I'm on a roll. Then, for the most part, I stare at the screen. I may stall. I may walk around a bit, try to get those creative juices flowing. May make a phone call or two to line up a shut-in visit. Talk to a saint of Holy Cross or Emmanuel who walks in the church building. But inevitably, there comes a time when you have to write something else. So often what I do is I imagine that I'm actually going to preach. And so I start to say things like, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then it hit me. That wouldn't be right. Not with this gospel reading, not with this text, not with this Jesus. Because Jesus said, do not think that I have come to bring peace on earth. So, if nothing else, I'm going to get the beginning of today's sermon right. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, who said, I have not come to bring peace. Amen. Now, of course, when I start writing the sermon, I'm sort of on some sort of autopilot. You know, write this, write that, say a nice platitude here, tell a story here at the beginning. And of course, we're all like that to some degree. We like something nice, something automatic, something effortless. It's how we try to live our life, isn't it? Good morning. How are you doing? Something nice. Fine. How are you? The Lord be with you. Something automatic. And also with you. When are you going to take out the garbage, turn in that assignment, make dinner, mow the lawn, or fix the dishwasher? Something effortless, something easy. Soon. That's just the way we seem to be wired. But when it comes to thinking about peace, desiring peace, bringing peace, well, that's a lot more difficult. And it cannot be reduced to an automatic, effortless platitude. But it is what people want, isn't it? We want good things, peace, joy, contentment, blessings. Now, to illustrate this, I want you to consider Apollo 11. When I was a child, I loved space and rockets and astronauts. And of course, the highest point of man's space achievements was Apollo 11, when the astronauts first landed on the moon. Historically, that was one of the greatest voyages ever taken. And symbolically, it was one of the most important events that humans have ever accomplished. And you get that if you listen to the famous words of Neil Armstrong uttered as he stepped off the moon. It's one small step for a man, one giant leap for mankind. But more than that, there's a lunar plaque, actually, that is attached to the ladder of the Apollo 11 lander strut. The lander and the plaque remain on the moon to this day. And so if you go to the moon, you can actually see the plaque with your own eyes. It reads, "Here, men from the planet Earth first set foot upon the moon, July 1969 AD. And the last line of the message reads, "We came in peace for all mankind." The message is lofty and noble and sublime and idealistic. It's exactly the kind of stuff, exactly the kind of thing you say when you're doing something truly historic. It's not just once in a lifetime. This is once in a millennium stuff. And so you really have to choose your words carefully, don't you? Now, something more momentous, something more significant, ultimately important, happened when Jesus Christ walked the earth. Something that was not just for a lifetime or just for a millennium. Something of eternal significance. Its implications are forever and ever. And it would cover all things, visible and invisible. And so, if any occasion surpassed the moon landing in its importance and was even more deserving of a plaque, it would have been when Jesus walked on the earth. Now, if we were going to have a plaque made for that occasion, what do you think the plaque would have said? It might have said, "Here, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Israel's Messiah, the Lord of heaven and earth, set foot upon the planet Earth. AD 1. But what should have the last message, the last line of that message on the plaque have read? "Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace on the earth." Those are strange words. Those words are difficult. Those words are jarring. And Jesus knew it. You can tell that Jesus knew it because he did not simply assert, he did not simply say, "I have not come to bring peace upon the earth." No, he tells his disciples, "Do not think, do not imagine, do not suppose, do not assume I have come to bring peace on the earth." He knew this was difficult, strange, jarring. But irrespective, it was the truth. When Jesus first stepped foot on the earth, he did not bring peace. He brought the sword. He brought fighting. He brought division and dissensions in people's homes. Sons and fathers turned against each other. Mothers and daughters did too. One family member believed that Jesus was the Christ, and the other cried out in unbelief, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" There were enemies living in the same household. That is not peace. That is division. That is discord. Now, this, of course, was not the purpose for which Jesus came, but it was the result, and Jesus knew that. In fact, Jesus was already experiencing that himself. In Matthew 10, Jesus is, if you remember, calling and sending out the apostles, telling them to go and do what he is doing. Go and proclaim that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out the demons. But Jesus doesn't just call them to do this and send them out with that authority. No, he also cautions them about what they would face as they go out with his authority. Some of them would receive the apostles and their word, but others would not. They'd be beaten in their synagogues. The apostles would be dragged into court. They'd be brought to testify before ruling authorities. There would be trouble. There would be pain. There would be persecution. It was going to happen to Jesus, and the disciple is not above his master. So Jesus was warning them, saying, "You should expect this. Not peace, but division and discourse." That would be the result. Jesus came to announce and to establish the reign of God over all things in a world where sin and evil, darkness and crime, confusion and pain, violence and death abound. Our God came to do something about it forever and always. And that is why he sent Jesus, to put an end to the world as we know it and as we experience it. For some, that was good news. For others, that was bad news. And so some believed in Jesus and they followed him, and others rejected him. And that was going to happen. Jesus warned his disciples about this as he sent them out in his name and with his authority. And what happened to Jesus? Exactly what he said would. There will be those who reject him, those who cry out, "Crucify him, crucify him." And so he was crucified. He died as the king of the Jews. He died with people taunting him because he claimed to be the Son of God. But God raised him from the dead and gave him the name above every name upon his resurrection. And so what Jesus was talking about to the disciples in Matthew 10 was to only go to the lost sheep of Israel at that time. Don't go to the Gentiles. Don't go to the Samaritans. Let's stay here with God's chosen people. But when Jesus rose from the dead and was given a name above all names, he told his disciples to go out and make disciples of all nations. And that's what they did. And that's what the people of God have been doing ever since. That's what Christ Church has been doing ever since. That's why you are here. Because the purpose for which Christ originally came on earth was to seek and to save the lost. And that has not yet fully been accomplished. Jesus still sends out messengers to announce his message. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the result sometimes still is trouble. Even in your own families. Even among your own friends. So what Jesus said to his apostles, I now say to you, in the name of Jesus, do not think, do not suppose, do not imagine, do not assume there will be peace on earth. There will be trouble. Maybe some of you have already experienced it in your own lives. There will be trouble, confusion, pain, and persecution. Now, in case you need me to explain this to you, that's not good news. No, the good news is this. But the promise is that everyone who endures to the end will be saved. Jesus endured in his message and in his mission. And yes, he was crucified. But God raised him from the dead. And what God did for Jesus, he will do for all who believe in Jesus. That's what your God will do for you. Because when Jesus first came into the world, yes, there would not be peace. But when Jesus comes back, there will be peace forevermore in his name, under his rule, and for all of his followers, for you. So then, do not think that there will be peace now. I'm not personally promising you trouble, but don't be surprised. Do not be caught unaware. But I promise you, in the name of Jesus, the Son of God, who is coming back, there will be peace and joy and blessing and satisfaction and contentment and perfection and beauty and life and joy and wholeness for all of you. All of you who call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, all of you who trust in him, in his death and his resurrection for you. He promises that for you, there will be peace. May God, through his Spirit, keep you in that promise and in his grace, now and in the day of eternal peace. Amen.